I'm so glad to just hear that as part of your story. I didn't know any of that. I thought your fascination was just bees. But I appreciate your help in that too. John 3:16. If we haven't met, my name's Tim. Nice to introduce myself. I'm going to read two versions, New International, and then my favourite translation of this, or two verses, which is the Message translation. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever, King James, whosoever, believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Message version, and I attach verse 17. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son that who... No, this is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son. And this is why. So that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. And God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help. He came to put it right again. I'm going to pray, Father, thank you for sending your Son. That's the reconciler, the saviour, the deliverer. Thank you for grace. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for not leaving us just stuck and hopeless, but you gave us hope. And this morning I pray that our ears would be open to hear and our hearts open to receive what you, by your Spirit, might want to communicate to our hearts through the words that I might speak. Thanks. If you haven't been around, as Ryan said, we've been working our way through John 3:16, probably one of the best known passages of the Bible. Sorry, I just got to turn this on for... Hopefully you can hear now. Been working our way through John 3:16, and to this point, we've really got through two parts, and those are these, the who and the what. And we got to that at Easter time, but the who is this, God, Jehovah, Elohim, Yahweh, the Holy One, the God of promise, the God of covenant, all these things that we talked about. And if you missed any of these, you can go back and listen to them on the website podcasts, and it's worth doing that because this has been just really beautifully unpacked. The who, the great I am. And the what. What did he do? He gave his Son. And that's really as far as we've got. The who and the what. And now what we're going to jump into today is the beginning of the why. Okay, so the who, God, did what? Gave his Son. Why? So that whosoever will believe in him does not have to perish but can have everlasting life. And I feel so privileged to be able to just take on this word, whosoever. In the Message version, the anyone. Because it's this truth that anyone is embraced, invited. The word is a really simple three-letter Greek word. It's pas, P-A-S. And it means all. It's defined most simply as this: all, every, the whole, or every kind of. Now, funnily enough, this passage has caused some people to slip up because there's divided thoughts on whether we choose God or God just has the elect and the chosen. And some people have taken this passage and says it really is only addressing believers. All believers. All who will believe. And that in its Greekest form is what it's saying, but we can miss the heart of it because it's been reduced by some groups to all believers will not perish. True. That is true. But all believers came from somewhere, something. And this is where I believe it's the whosoever's. And I'm actually super grateful because a couple of my friends decided to come this morning. And this word is really significant to them. And you'll probably catch them. You should say hi to them. But they've got on their shirts, I'm a whosoever. Because we've been embraced in our whosoeverness that we are invited to become believers. The caveat here is believe. Whosoever will believe, or whosoever is willing to become a believer. But it starts with the whosoever, and that's what I'm going to focus on, because this is an area that's actually pretty difficult for a broad swath of the church. Because the same word, this word pass, is used in Romans 3:23 that says this: all pass have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so what I would venture to say is that that same all who have sinned makes up a portion the all who have believed. All who have believed at one time were all who have sinned, but have walked in forgiveness and grace and understood that. So the all is the same word. There are not all believers who are the elect who are not a part of the all who have sinned. This is where that whosoever comes in. Our problem as humans is we tend to want to stand apart from rather than stand with. That's partly just human nature. Human nature, we look for the alike rather than the different. It can be our downfall, particularly when it comes to being believers in Jesus, because we find the new alike. We can even forget or try to hide what we once were like. We find the new alike. And we know it in just human nature. We gravitate to that which is like us. Same interests, same looks, same background, same heritage, same whatever it is. And the thing that often happens is, rather than being believers in the midst of community and culture, we create new community and new culture. The new alike. And stand apart from that which we once were like. And this is hard. And we wrestle with. And at the end, I'm inviting you, we're going to have a little question and response time. Because I know this is a fact, is a thing that the church wrestles with. I believe personally that Jesus came to stand with, regardless how different we are to him. I believe Jesus came to stand alongside the whosoever, regardless of how different we were to him. In fact, Paul writes to the Colossians and reminded them that at one time they were at enmity with God. They were enemies of God, but now were bought back and redeemed in Jesus. And Jesus often received bucket loads of criticism for who he associated with. As you read through the Gospels, you see the criticism, the things said about Jesus. Brennan Manning, who wrote a book, he's written loads of books, but one that was significant to me is called The Ragamuffin Gospel. And there's a quote coming up that Brennan made in The Ragamuffin. It says this: "The sinners to whom Jesus directed his messianic ministry were not those who skipped morning devotions or Sunday church. His ministry was to those whom society considered real sinners. They had done nothing to merit salvation, yet they opened themselves to the gift that was offered them. On the other hand, the self-righteous placed their trust in their works of the law and closed their hearts to the message of grace." Another quote from the Ragamuffin says this: "Jesus comes for sinners, for those as outcasts, as tax collectors, and for those caught in all squalid choices and failed dreams. He comes for corporate executives, street people, superstars, farmers, hookers, addicts, IRS agents, AIDS victims, and even, forgive me if you are one here, used car salesmen." This is where Brennan really begins to lean into this idea. And there are people groups that, if we're honest, we would tend to go, okay, now that's getting borderline. Now that's really far away from godliness or righteousness, and what do we do with it? Recorded in Luke chapter 7 and verse 34, Jesus actually says himself that he is accused of being a glutton and a drunkard. And this is written in context of Jesus speaking to the crowds and the Pharisees particularly, where he says, "John came and he neither ate nor drank, and you accuse him of being demon-possessed, and here I come eating and drinking, and you accuse me of being a glutton and a drunkard." And Jesus is really saying, nothing's good enough for you. But Jesus openly says, this is the accusation, not because I am a glutton and a drunkard, but because I associate with those who are considered so. So it's not just this accusation. Jesus actually owns the accusation, says, this is what's said about me. It says, wisdom is proved right by its behavior. So put that in the context of Ryan's question, when he was asking about what's it mean to be a follower of Jesus and a Christian, he says, does it look like Jesus? How do we feel if people say, by association, you are a glutton, drunkard, whatever? By association. And we tend to want to remove ourselves from situations like that. One of the most life-changing passages in Scripture for me was Luke chapter 19. And it's the story of a man named Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus is a fellow who is a tax collector. He is really an enemy of his own people. He's become an associate of Rome, working on their behalf, and fairly well known as thieves of their own people. But he comes interested in Jesus, and he climbs a tree to see him, and Jesus, in this big Jesus parade, actually stops the parade, and he invites Zacchaeus to come down. And he says to him, I've got to come to your place. I've got to come to your place. Now, what struck me about this in my own life, in a time where I was in a deep mess, and I had tried so many times, because my mum was a doctor, my dad was a pastor, and so I got both sides of what I was doing to myself. What I was doing to myself physically and what I was doing to myself spiritually, and my parents loved me deeply, and I went through numerous self-help seasons to just try and get better. just try and stop doing the stuff I was doing. And every time I stopped, it was almost like I just took a break and came back worse. Until Jesus absolutely transformed my life. But this passage, I felt like what Jesus was saying was, I don't need you to go home and clean up your house for me to come around. I just want to come. And this was the thing in Luke chapter 19, is Jesus didn't invite Zacchaeus to come down, go home, prepare it for him while I hang out with all these good folk. I'll eventually get to you. He just goes, let's go to your place. And the immediate thing that is said is that what on earth has Jesus done going to this person's place, a notorious sinner? And Jesus is making himself a friend of tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners. And Jesus doesn't hesitate. He goes over. Zacchaeus' life is transformed. But Jesus didn't limit himself to the despised, rejected. In Luke chapter 7, he engages an invitation for dinner with a Pharisee. He goes to a Pharisee's house for dinner. That's interesting in itself how that does end, because it's almost like this setup for Jesus, and there's a woman who comes over and she begins to touch Jesus and weep on him, and the Pharisee and probably associates with him says, see, if he was some sort of prophet, he would know what type of woman is touching him. Jesus doesn't just reserve himself for those that we would consider notorious sinners. He'll go anywhere he's invited. Bring light and bring life. What Jesus does also say is he came for those who are sick. You see, people who don't think they're sick will never call a doctor. And it comes with the realization that we're all sick. I love John chapter 4, the story of the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, where Jesus goes through Samaria and he sends his disciples into town to get food. What has always been very interesting to me is why does Jesus send 12 people into town to get food for 13? I just think Jesus doesn't want them around. Because he knows what's coming. And Jesus doesn't want their opinion on what he's about to do. Because you see it at the end of the story, and it's worth reading the whole story because it's this incredible engagement that he has with this woman. But it says in the NIV version, I just want to read it quickly. And then I'm going to read it from the Message. Because I think Eugene just captures it slightly differently. In verse 27 of chapter 4, just as Jesus has told her, I am. It says, just then his disciples came back and they were shocked to find him talking to a woman. But none of them had to ask, what do you want with her or why are you talking to her? Eugene puts it like this. He says, when they returned, none of them said anything, but their faces showed what they were thinking. And you can picture the surprise and the querying and the wondering, what on earth is Jesus doing associating with this Samaritan woman, sinner? But their faces showed it. Jesus didn't limit himself to just the Jews, to the Israelites. Jesus heals a Roman centurion's servant. Jesus is not limited to just the extremities. Jesus will reach anyone. And we all have lines that divide us. Worthy, unworthy, deserving, undeserving, insiders, outsiders, But I believe Jesus came to erase the lines and create a new way of being. Another quote, Dane Ortlund, in a book that I've found super helpful that just looks at the four Gospels, it's called Surprised by Jesus. And he writes this, because the grace of Jesus Christ is open to all, literally all, the gospel of grace provides the only resource for authentic community. I want to leave that and I want to read it again. Because this grace of Jesus Christ is open to all, the gospel of grace provides the only resource for authentic community. Because it is designed to remove all of those borders, boundaries, lines, and things that we put in place. Paul in Galatians writes this, and this is the Amplified version. Paul says that in Christ there are no longer the dividing lines that we've let divide us. And this is within the context of our new Christian faith. There is now no distinction in regard to salvation, neither Jew nor Greek or Gentile. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you who believe, all are one in Christ. No one can claim a spiritual superiority. And all of these words were divisions. It's not saying there's no longer male or female. People like to get on that train too, but we're not going there. It is saying that Jesus has removed all hierarchical divisions. There's no longer anyone who is more important than anyone else. Peter gets into trouble with this. Like Peter, one of the three. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 2 that he had to address some of Peter's behavior. Paul goes to Galatia and he finds that Peter was once eating with Gentile believers, but once these people from Jerusalem came to see what was happening, he removes himself from them and now begins to only eat with those of the religious orders. And Paul comes in and goes, man, you are wrong. Paul writes and says, I addressed him to his face. And the thing that you see, and if you read this passage, is he doesn't say, you know, you're being disrespectful or you're not behaving in a gentle manner. You know what? Paul says this to him. He says, you have missed the point of the gospel. Read it. Galatians, when Paul says you have removed yourself out of fear for how you will be perceived or what you will be accused of, you have missed the point of the gospel. That's super challenging. What was Peter's issue? Fear. Fear of what might be said about to him. Fear of how he would be seen. Fear of what he would have been accused of. Fear of inclusivity. And that was amongst believers. The fear amplifies when you start to consider association with notorious sinners, like Jesus did. I think we have bigger divides when it comes to those who are not yet believers. Jesus engaged anyone and everyone wherever there was opportunity. This same word, all, pass, is a part of Jesus' invitation in Matthew 11, 28. Where Jesus says this, come to me, pass all who are weary, who are heavy laden, tired, burned out, burdened, worn down. Come to me, I'll give you rest. Then he says, take my yoke upon you, learn of me. It's easy, my yoke is light. And this word all is just such a powerful and beautiful and yet deeply confronting word. And if we stop and think for a moment and let our minds wander, I wonder if there are people that we go,
Really? Them too?
The message of Jesus is, interestingly enough, 100% inclusive. But it is also 100% exclusive. And this is what we're really going to jump into next week, and I'm not going to take it on however much I would love to, because the exclusivity is Him. It's who will believe in Him. But the invitation is to anyone, absolutely anyone. It's an invitation to all to come to Him alone. The question, therefore, is not who you are, where do you come from, what is your background, what's your story, what qualifies you or disqualifies you, but rather, do you want to know Jesus? Do you want to believe? The idea of true grace, undeserved, unearnable favor, is actually offensive to some people. Like somewhere we have this sense of a scale of deservability. Deservability is a new word. I made it up. You're welcome to use it. But this scale that there are people who are more deserving, actually foolish. If you ever see me standing with my son, and my son is about 6 inches taller than I am, it's about as foolish as believing that he's likely to get more sunburned than I am because he's that much closer to the sun. It's irrelevant. And this scale of deservability, there's that great word again, is that foolish. Because we are all, in some variation or another, sinners who desperately need to be redeemed. The leveling factor is that we all sin, we're all lost, but we can be reconciled in Christ. Now, I'll say this, the road back might be shorter for some. Right, maybe some haven't strayed too far, and the lifestyle changes aren't super challenging for them. But we're all lost. You can be 100 miles from your destination or 1 block from your destination and not know where you are and how to get to your destination. You're lost. People might tell you, well, I was kind of lost. I was sort of lost. I was almost lost. I sort of knew the general areas and I would have found my way eventually. We men, drivers, we don't always like to say we're lost. I don't like to be lost. But lost is lost. And sometimes I think it's hard for us to see the distance and the time it takes between being a wildly whosoever to someone who is a transformed believer. It's not always easy to accept certain people's conversions. I was really bummed when Bob Dylan wrote these two great albums, Slow Train Coming and Saved. And he wrote these really great songs, but loads of people in the church were like, that's impossible, not Bob Dylan, he can't have come to a faith. And then he threw his hands up and then he went and wrote a song, Everybody Let's Get Stoned. Because he's kind of like, even Bob Dylan was like, I found that I was not welcome because of what the church perceived Bob Dylan's story to be. And it's happened to loads of people.
happened to Paul. Paul, who we revere as one of the greatest writers of the New Testament texts. In Acts 9:26, he has had a personal experience with Jesus. He's come to faith. He's been baptized. And he's like, dude, I want to go and hang out with the disciples. And he goes to Jerusalem and they won't meet with him. Why? Because it says they didn't believe that he was actually a believer. They were afraid of him. And thus begins Paul's journey of reconciliation with the believers. There's another man, Jeffrey Dahmer. Some of you would know the name. A tragic human who recordedly is one of the most perverse, and I don't want to go into all of the things he did, but all sorts of perversions to the point of human cannibalism of his victims. And he was finally caught and jailed. During his time in prison, a couple of people began to write to him and contact him. One of those was a pastor named Roy Radcliffe. And this whole thing has been turned into a TV series somewhat recently. I don't recommend you watch it. It won't be good for all of you. But it does address this, that Roy Radcliffe began to reach out to him, and Jeffrey Dahmer eventually confesses his faith in Jesus. And he is baptized in prison. And he begins to have hourly meetings with Roy Radcliffe. And Roy Radcliffe says that his life began to change. Sadly, 6 months after he was beaten to death in prison. But by all accounts, he died a believer. Roy Radcliffe got incredible accusations. People in his church are recorded as saying this: if Jeffrey Dahmer is in heaven, I don't want to go. Because grace is that confronting to us, that genuinely whosoever's, by accepting and believing, can enter into this eternal promise of life to its full. The point remains, which I believe is the heart of the gospel. God's grace and mercy are far bigger than we can ever comprehend. As much as we might not like it, God can save whoever he wills, not whoever we prefer. I want to go back to Eugene's version of John 3:16 and 17. And it says this: this is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. And God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help. He came to put it right again. He didn't go to all that trouble to let you know that you were cast out, but rather that you were sought out. There's a song that we're just going to play the lyric video to. It's by a band called The Lost Dogs. I'm not inviting you to like the music, to like the construct, the lack of melody, or anything else. I just want you to let these words, as you see it, the lyric video, every word is going to come up. And as they come up, I just want you to allow yourself to see them, think on them briefly, and also see if you react to any of the lyrics This is a song called Breathe Deep by the Lost Dogs. There's a lot of words there. And if we could slow it all down to half speed and actually allow each of those descriptive words of people groups and people types to pause in front of us, I wonder what our genuine reaction would be. Are there people that came up in that you're like, but this is what whosoever is? And I know the church in our current climate has issues with some of those people groups that are even listed in that song. But they're all whosoevers, and they're all invited. And so I invite you to wrestle with it. We will get to the believe, but you got a week to wrestle with the whosoever. The invitation is there. And so we're going to wrap this up with question and response. And just open it up. We can be honest. This is a safe place to be honest. And if you want to take that song slowly, those questions we'll sort of just leave up at the end. But I want to just open it up if anyone wants to talk.